Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Thursday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, if you play fantasy football, if you bet on football, or just want to get smarter on football, Greg Cosell, 42 years, NFL Films, to break down the biggest games of the weekend every weekend. Nuggets I never thought about, I'm introduced to. And with that, Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, we have had a rambunctious week.
Rambunctious. It's been wild. It has been wild. And listen, I like it because I think you can definitely, after the last 2 years, and particularly with sports, take the statement that it'll never happen off the table. Anything is possible.
And that's what I love. I want to start with this. I have a bunch of friends. They're all different. Some are funny. Some are serious. Some are conservative. Some are liberal. Some are East Coast. Some are West Coast. Some are men. Some are women. Some are young. Some are older. I like it that way. It's the same way I like my sports. I don't want the NFL to become the NBA. And I don't want the UFC to become baseball. Like, there's a cult. Every sport has a different culture. And I would say international soccer and the NBA are very star-driven. I'm good with it. I don't need my sports all to be the same thing. But football isn't as star-driven. And Troy Aikman talked about the Rams and the direction they're headed.
The all-star team just, I've never seen it work in the NFL. I know Washington tried it back in, I think, 99. And I've just never seen a team that really goes out and tries to put together this all-star team that can win a Super Bowl have much success, and usually it unravels. And right now, that's kind of what's happening with the Rams. They just have not been very consistent.
He's not the only person that is saying that in the league, and I think Troy Aikman may have a point. So this morning, I went up and I looked up the top three winningest NFL franchises in the last decade. New England, number one. They are the opposite of a super team. They let stars go all the time. It's getting value. Even Tom Brady took pay cuts. It is getting value. Number two is Green Bay, the opposite culture of a super team. Again, wouldn't even go get J.J. Watt. It's about value with Green Bay. Building through the draft. The two winningest teams. You know who's number three? They've hit hard times. The Seattle Seahawks. Why? What is their identity today? I think New England. I think smart, seeking value, efficient, power, defense. I think Green Bay, value, development, building through the draft. I think of Seattle this morning. The hell are they? They've lost their core identity. Why? Oh, it's a very top-heavy roster. Stars. Here's the downside to stars. It's a very strict salary cap in the NFL. So when you pay for a star, you have to validate his existence. Ooh, Matt Stafford's in town. We're going to become a throw the football team. Time out. That's not what the Rams were 4 years ago, 3 years ago. When Sean McVay came into this league, it was Todd Gurley, run the football, play action pass, a lot of movement. What are the Rams now? They're talented. What's their core identity? When Seattle, Pete Carroll came to the Seahawks, Legion of Boom, power running Marshawn Lynch, fast defense running everywhere. What is Seattle now? They're terrible defensively. Special teams are hit and miss. They can't run the football. When you spend big money, I would argue this. This is where football's culture is different. Find me an average or a poor football team, and I will find you a team with a poor and average identity. A great example is college football this year. Jim Harbaugh, for the first time at Michigan, found an identity. They were a power-run football team, number three in college football's Power Five conferences. They finally beat Ohio State. Brian Kelly was successful from day one at Notre Dame, but about 6 years ago, he pivoted, and he acknowledged he pivoted. He said, we're going to become offensive line first, run the football, power football. They are 54-9 at Notre Dame since he's done that. That's pretty remarkable, right? What is your core identity? When you play in a strict salary cap league, OBJ in Cleveland, we got to get him the ball. That's not your identity. Cleveland's been at its best when his identity is Nick Chubb in the O-line. That's their identity. But you get the star receiver, and now L.A. is an Ohio version, a little bit, of the Cleveland Browns. Their identity was power football. Aaron Donald beat you at the point of attack. Play action, jet sweeps. It's all passing now. And so even in free agency, New England's the great example. When you have a strong core identity, your dips are very brief because you know what you are. New England's a great example. They lose the greatest quarterback ever. They have a dip. But they didn't lose their identity because Cam, power running quarterback. They got Cam for no money. This year they went into free agency. But it was all value. Kendrick Bourne, his $3 million cap hit. Matthew Judon's a $6 million cap hit. So even in their down year, they didn't get away from what they really were. Smart, efficient, power running, play good defense. New England was that last year. I mean, they came within two plays of being 9-7, not 7-9. And this year, with Mac Jones, limitations, if I said five words to describe New England, smart, efficient, value, power run, defense. When you have a core identity, because all companies have dips, you go back and look and read the book about Steve Jobs and Apple. When they plummeted off a cliff, Steve Jobs left the company and they plummeted. And he came back and he said, you guys have 8,000 products. Give me four. You're confusing the consumer. What are we? We're smart. We're clever. We're fun. We're transformational. Four products, shrink the catalog, back to being having an identity. And so what Troy Aikman is basically saying, super teams in a strict salary cap, you kind of lose yourself. What have we been talking about, Joey and I, for the last couple months? The Rams have lost themselves. McVay's kind of lost themselves. Basketball, I watched the Warriors. The super team worked. I watch Brooklyn now. James Harden, Kevin Durant, they're better than they were 3 years ago. They had great chemistry years ago. They didn't have those guys. So sports are best when there's different cultures for each one. And I think Troy's on to something. Well, it's Aaron Rodgers' birthday today. He is 38 years old. And this week we had another little Aaron Rodgers COVID story, news story, where he said maybe some of the coaches at Green Bay are giving information to the media. And there's a lot of noise around Aaron Rodgers. But he's special. He's sort of like, remember the band Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose? Actually, Aaron's starting to look like Axl Rose. Guns N' Roses would be 2.5 hours late to go on stage. You didn't know if they'd show up. But God, when they went on the stage, blowtorch. Great performers. Just the all, to me, Guns N' Roses is as good a band live as I've ever seen in my life. And Aaron's about as good a quarterback as we've all seen in our life. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning, is that when I think of Aaron, I don't think successful. I don't think talented. I don't even think very good. I think special. And special is a different word than very good. Special is different than excellent. Special is different than successful. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins are successful. Dak Prescott and Derek Carr are very good. Joe Burrow is talented. Special's different. And in the NFL, to me, there are special is I can do things, not me specifically, but somebody can do things, man or woman, that other people can't do. I live in Los Angeles. Talented's on every corner. Excellence on every corner. Successful's on every corner. Special? Reed Hastings, Netflix? That's special. Total disruptor to television. In my lifetime, there's never been one of those. There's eight quarterbacks in this league to me that do stuff other people can't do. Doesn't mean they're always great. But those eight quarterbacks are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson, though he's having a down year. Yes, Justin Herbert set every rookie quarterback record in the history of the sport behind the second worst offensive line. He was a 4.2 biology major in college. He was a tutor for other students while quarterbacking his college. He's special. And when you're special, just get away with more. It's hard to fire special. It's hard to let go of special. Talented people get let go all the time. Good people get let go all the time. Special, she's high maintenance, he's high maintenance. Oh, he's tough to deal with. Yeah, there's nobody else out there like her. There's nobody else out there like him. So Aaron Rodgers, happy, special 38th birthday. You're worth it. Because there's only eight people in the world that do what you do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Cowboys tonight are going to play the New Orleans Saints. The Cowboys are going to win because the Saints are falling apart. Alvin Kamara out. Ryan Ramczyk, a great offensive lineman, out. The Cowboys are going to have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. So Dallas is going to win tonight. The Saints are actually becoming a little bit like New England last year. Great culture, great team, great legendary gold jacket coach. But COVID hit for the Patriots. They pull back for a year until they find their quarterback. Saints this year, you know, they pull back. They've had injuries. They pull back. They got to find their quarterback next year. So it's just not going to be a year for New Orleans. They're just not good enough at quarterback to overcome the injuries. And New England last year wasn't dynamic enough at quarterback to overcome their opt-outs. So, but the Cowboys will win tonight. But it's interesting. This is what Amari Cooper is a really good player. He's not a top 10, 12 wide receiver, but he's a really good player. But here's what always concerns me a little about Dak. The great quarterbacks lift others. They don't need to be lifted. Although, you know, if you have a first ballot Hall of Fame left tackle, he's obviously going to help any quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers can win when he's on his third left tackle. Is that Dak's career with Amari Cooper, he is an A quarterback, 68% completion percentage, 102.6 passer rating, 73 touchdowns and 24 interceptions. That is Dak with. And here's Dak this year without him. 0-2, everything goes down, 83 passer rating. Now, you could say, Colin, that's unfair. It's just two-game sample. All right, though, okay. Let's go back to the year Amari Cooper joined Dak Prescott. Remember that year, seven games? Dak had a losing record, 62% completion percentage, passer rating at 87. Dak is an A quarterback with Amari Cooper, and he's a B-minus quarterback without him. Some would say a C. Now, Aaron Rodgers is 10-0 without Devontae Adams. Patrick Mahomes is 4-1 without Tyreek Hill. Tom Brady was 12-4 as last year in New England. And his number one receiver was Julian Edelman, an old Julian Edelman who's since retired, and James White, a running back. Is that Brady's career and Aaron's career and Mahomes' career is so far lifting others. Dak feels too driven by Zeke early and Amari Cooper lately. Dak needs to make Amari Cooper. And I'll give you an example. Here's a stat that's a little alarming. This year, Dallas is 5-0 this year when Zeke has just 52 yards rushing. 52 yards. Dallas is 2-4 when he has less. What? Zeke is no longer as good, I would argue, as Tony Pollard on some games. So I'm not saying that Amari Cooper isn't good. But Devontae Adams is significantly better, I think. Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen has elevated him. He was good with Kirk Cousins. But they won games the year before without Stephon Diggs. Josh has elevated Stephon Diggs. Josh didn't need Stephon Diggs to be great. And so that's what worries me, is that the best records of Dak's career were with a young Zeke, and the best record of his current career is with a healthy Amari Cooper. He's not that special. Amari Cooper's a really good player. They should not be winning or losing tonight based on Amari Cooper. Derek Carr last week, on a short week, interim coach, on the road, no Henry Ruggs, no Darren Waller, maybe the second best tight end, put on a clinic. Like, that was a big bag quarterback game. Road game, short week, interim coach, superstar tight end, the only deep threat, didn't have any of them. Chaos around the organization. Carr outplays him. And so tonight, Dallas is going to win. But I really, in a weird way, I would like to see Dak without Amari tonight, because Dallas right now is just a healthier, better team. It shouldn't come down to Amari Cooper's health restricting a $40 million a year quarterback. And that's always been my concern. I know he's good. Nobody doubts that. He's very, very talented. You start looking around the league, Amari Cooper should not dictate wins and losses. He is not in Vegas worth a point. He's very good, could make the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a good player. He has 6-7 more years, could be a Hall of Famer. I'm not doubting that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't like the word integrity. Okay, when I think of Oklahoma football, I'm sorry, it's not the first word that comes out. I love Barry Switzer. I don't link him to integrity. He did what you do to win games. So Brian Kelly leaves, lacks integrity. Lincoln Riley leaves, lacks integrity. It's interesting. Oklahoma, you do realize everybody else has a coach and you don't. You're losing recruits. You're going to have to steal somebody, right? Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers, would win. If he stayed for 10 years at Oklahoma, he'd probably win 4 national titles. He would have to lack integrity, bail on the Carolina Panthers midseason. Brett Venables, what if Clemson, like they usually are, was like 11-0 playing for the national title? He would have to bail on Clemson to take your job, bail on all the players, right before a national championship game. Oh, I thought you were about integrity. Integrity. Your integrity's not mine. My morals aren't yours. Everybody has flexible morality. You ever go to Twitter and watch somebody swear and say rude stuff, and you look at their Twitter account, and it's like Christian. It's like, whoa, time out. That's not terribly Christian of you, is it? Integrity. Take Luke Fickle. So Luke Fickle is the Cincinnati coach. He's been there for like 4 years. He's doing a great job. He's a great young coach, great candidate. He'll be a home run for somebody. He was up for the Notre Dame job, but they couldn't sit around and wait for a month because he's going to be in the playoff. They can't lose these recruits. They're rolling. So they went and got Marcus Freeman, who I was told it was a 50-50 split. You know, either one of them could be successful. But you had to take Luke Fickle out. So let me ask you this, because Luke Fickle, the truth is, in the last 2 years, he's 21-1. It's a weaker conference. It's not a Power Five. Cincinnati's going to dominate this conference as long as Luke Fickle's there. They're going to become the Boise State of the Midwest. Non-Power Five team that can beat Power Fives, and Luke Fickle's a great coach. He's going to win as long as he's there. And they're going to be like in this position every year as long as he's there. Is he trapped? Can he never leave? Can Luke Fickle never, ever take the Ohio State, Notre Dame? Because at some point, he will have to cut the cord to leave. Because you can guarantee Cincinnati's going to win that conference 6 of the next 7 years with Luke Fickle. He doesn't have the right taking that team to a totally different level. Brian Kelly took Notre Dame, a $1 billion brand. It was a dying brand. A dying brand. They're now the best, next to Ohio State, Northern football brand in America. You don't think he has the right after 12 years to cut the cord? He's doing Notre Dame a favor because Notre Dame's really not national championship viable this year. They'd be a huge underdog to Georgia. They'd be a big underdog to Michigan. They'd be an underdog to Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati. They already lost to them at home soundly. There's 6-7 teams they'd be an underdog to, maybe 8. This is the year Brian should have left. Because next year, Notre Dame may be a 2 or a 3 seed late in the year. Look at their schedule. Look at who they return. Look at their recruiting class. Next year, Brian knows, I better leave now. That's why he made this decision. Brian knows last year's team was excellent. Next year's is excellent. This is a rebuilding team. And because it's a year of parity, they kind of snuck up on people a little bit. Notre Dame's better than everybody thought. So this is the year to leave. But folks, when I hear people talk about integrity, it's always flexible. Morality, it's always flexible based on what you need. The nice guy, go read their Twitter avatar, what nice people they are. They go to church every Sunday and they're swearing at kids. I mean, it's. I don't want to hear about your integrity. Oklahoma football, the first word I think is not integrity. It's winning football games, whatever it takes.
These are not volunteers. They're not married. When you receive a check that makes it your career, you're entitled to make your own decisions in that space.
Oklahoma better steal somebody else's coach who will bail on kids that he promised he'd be there for. I roll.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Greg Cosell, 42 years, NFL Films is having to tolerate this nonsense, sitting there waiting to talk, and we're just blabbering on. Listen to us. We're just a bunch of capitalists.
Well, I'm only doing this for $100 million, Colin, so if you're not giving me $100 million, I'm out.
All right, so the Cowboys play tonight. They're going to have more of a, more of a full complement. You know, and I said this earlier, I like Dak, and I'm happy he got rich. I got no problem. There's the big bad quarterbacks and the little bad quarterbacks, and, you know, Mahomes is one and Garoppolo's another, right? But I do feel like if you look at his numbers since he's been in the league with Amari Cooper and without, he's kind of a different quarterback without him, and I don't feel like, I mean, Aaron's 10-0 without Devontae. Mahomes is 4-1 without Tyreek Hill. And Dak's numbers dive without Amari. Do you see that? Does it concern you?
No, I think as I look at the Cowboys this season, and I think that's what we have to look at, I think the Cowboy offensive line has been a bit of an issue over the last month or so, particularly with the run game. They started this season, Colin, being a very good running team and running quite a bit, by the way. That's been lost in this discussion over the last number of weeks. And they actually were a really good first down rushing team. Their last five games, they're only averaging about 80 yards rushing a game. Their O-line has not done real well with run blocking. And I really like Dak as a player. That's what the tape tells me for the most part. But I just think it's hard to ask him to drop back 45 times a game on a weekly basis. It's really hard to protect that way.
You know, I was saying earlier, find me an average team, and I'll find you a team that's struggling with a core identity. And Baltimore and Cleveland played Sunday night. It was virtually unwatchable. But Lamar is gifted enough with his feet sometimes to overcome bad performances. I feel like with a Cleveland football team offensively, I feel like they're a running team, and that's what they should do.
They are.
What did you see? What is happening with their recent performances offensively? They're just not the same as 6 weeks ago.
No, in this particular game, their run game was not very good. I thought that, you know, Mayfield's taken a lot of abuse. I did not think Mayfield was bad in this game. I thought that one thing that really showed up on the tape was that the quick game timing and rhythm throws that were designed to get Mayfield comfortable were taken away by the Ravens defense. And when you're talking quick game, which is 3-step drop timing, maybe some quick 5-step drop timing, if those get taken away, the quarterback gets stuck in the pocket. And I think that happened too many times. Those throws got taken away. Now, there were plays as well where Mayfield was a couple of beats slow to eliminate what wasn't there and get to where he should have gotten. That happened a few times. But you're right. Their offense starts with the run game. So the question becomes, it's not Mayfield per se, unless they feel they have to play this way because of him. The question is, can they only win offensively one way? Because teams that can only win offensively one way, there will be games that that doesn't work. And the result of that normally is the quarterback looks bad.
Yeah. So a surging team that is healthy now is Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. And there's always been a little bit of a debate. Is it Kyle's team? Is it Garoppolo's? How good is Jimmy? But Kyle does not have a winning record without Jimmy in this league, so there's got to be some value given to Garoppolo. As you watch them surge in recent weeks, how important is Jimmy G to this offense, Greg?
Well, it's funny you say that because he's not throwing the ball more than 25 times in any of the three games in this three-game stretch. That's another team offensively that essentially can only win one way. Their run game needs to be a factor. And notice how multiple the run game has become. Debo Samuel will now be out for at least a week. But look what they've done with the run game, how they've made him a big factor in it with different formation looks. Garoppolo is he's essentially a pocket quarterback. He's a timing rhythm thrower. The ball needs to come out. The reads need to be defined for him. He must be a big-time thrower on third down, and he's done that over the last couple of weeks. Their pass game works between the numbers. Those are difficult, tight-window throws he's been making in the last couple of weeks. But they have to win offensively with the run game as the starting point.
You know, nothing looks worse, even for a great quarterback, than a pick six. Tom Brady's last game in New England against Tennessee, he had one. He's had them in Super Bowls. If you take, you know, sometimes you got to fit balls into tight windows, pick sixes. Now, Matt Stafford's had 3 weeks in a row, he's had a pick six. I never thought of him as necessarily a reckless thrower, like a Carson Wentz is a tad more reckless as a player and Andrew Luck. What do you make of the Rams, Stafford, the pick sixes? Should people be concerned about that?
Well, there's a couple of points here. There's a lot to unpack. That particular touchdown by Douglas was a great play because he understood the route concepts and he played two routes as a cover two corner and he did a really good job. So that was a great play by a corner. But I think there's a couple of larger issues here that are not necessarily Stafford related, okay? I think there's a big difference in receiver type between Beckham and Woods. Woods is a physical, competitive receiver who worked the middle of the field effectively and had run after catch ability. Beckham is a smooth, finesse receiver who plays on the outside, and that limits the receiver location looks the Rams can use. And I noticed watching that tape that the Packers had a really good feel for understanding and defending the route concepts that the Rams like to run out of their 3-by-1 sets. And Beckham limits you to some degree because he can only be used a certain way. So I think the difference in receiver type between Beckham and Woods is critical for them and is something they're going to have to work through, and we'll see how quickly they can work through that.
You know, a game last week that was such a blowout, people may have stopped watching unless you lived in Ohio, was the Bengals playing physical football against the Steelers. And we all know that Zach Taylor, he comes from Los Angeles, he can be clever, Burrow, and the weapons. But if you just switch uniforms, that looked like the Steelers beating the Bengals the last 15 years. It was physical football, and now the Chargers play. I don't know if the Chargers can stop this Cincinnati run game. What do you make of what you saw with the Bengals?
Yeah, I mean, I like what they're doing. I think, you know, I'm a Brandon Staley believer. I think that football is a physical game, and at some point you have to run the ball. Now, is Mixon going to get 30 and 28 carries every week? No, he's not. But they are foundationally an outside zone run team. Mixon is a big physical back. He's an eye back. Almost 80% of his carries have come with Burrow under center as an eye back. And that's the way they run the ball. And their O-line was dominant against the Steelers, absolutely dominant. They consistently controlled the point of attack. They didn't really need Burrow in the passing game to be a big factor. But I will say one thing about Joe Burrow. He is a very confident thrower. He throws to the one-on-ones, and he'll throw to the one-on-ones vertically, even versus a bailed or an off-coverage corner. He has total confidence in Chase and Higgins. But this team has really run the ball physically the last couple of weeks.
All right, I want to break down Monday night Bills and Patriots because I think this is the best game of the weekend. I think it is. What did and I love when you do this. You don't buy into the narratives by the media and people like me. Mac Jones against the Titans. Now, you know, the opinion out there is, oh, very impressive win. What did the tapes say about Mac and the Titans?
Not his best game by any means. He didn't throw the ball as well as we have seen him. He missed some opportunities that were there. There were some plays he didn't see as clearly post-snap, but because his numbers were good, people see the numbers and go, wow, he had a great game. I guarantee that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are going over a lot of details with him this week, and he may come out and be much, much better because he's that kind of kid. But the game against the Patriots was by no means his best game of the season.
Yeah, against the Titans, yeah. So now let's go. So as I watch,
right.
Yeah, every single win by the Bills this year, every single one has been a blowout win. That's just there. I call it's the Mike Tyson quality. If he sensed weakness, it was over fast. But if you got Mike to go into the later rounds, he'd wear himself out and you had a chance to beat Tyson. And Buffalo's the same way. If they sense weakness, that defensive front just unravels you, but they don't run the ball. I feel like Josh Allen is running for his life way too often. How do they match up against this Patriots defense?
Yeah, well, the one thing about this that we know with Bill Belichick is that he's going to be very situational. So you're definitely going to see double teams on Beasley, on Diggs. It will be situational. What we know about the Bills is they're trying to work the running game as a more meaningful part of their offense.
Right.
It will never be the main part. They still need to orchestrate more big plays in the pass game. They have not really been a big play passing team this year as they were a year ago. And that's been a little bit of an issue as well. So I think this game is going to be very, very situational for the Patriots defense because that's how they're going to take away what the Bills try to do. Now, on the other side of the ball, Colin, I'm very curious to see what Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier do because at their core, the Patriots are a run-first team. But without Tre'Davious White, I'm curious to see if the Bills stay with – man coverage because they play more man than people probably think. And here's another factor. They're playing a team in the Patriots that run the ball physically. The Bills have not played with three linebackers on the field on any snap since week six. They are a 100% nickel defense because their nickel slot corner, Teron Johnson, is a really good player. And no one may know about him, but he's a physical, competitive player who's very good in the run game.
That is interesting. That's the game of the week. All right, so the Bucs-Colts, I almost feel like I know what the Colts are. If you give them the Titans, if you give them the Bucs, they're just a little bit too mistake-prone. They're not going to quite be able to do it. I felt they lost themselves a little bit. They forgot the run game and Jonathan Taylor for a little bit in that game. Some would say that's overblown. What did you make of Wentz? They were a little pass-happy against the Bucs, or is that nonsense?
Well, that was intentional. I mean, people can disagree with the approach, but that was intentional. The Bucs are a great run defense. And then just because they had the big run game drive late in the game where Taylor was the foundation, people say, oh, they should have been doing that all game. You don't know how it would have worked out if they started playing that way. We just don't know that. But their approach was intentional. They didn't forget about it. They came out against a team that stops the run as well or better than any team in the league and that has struggled with pass defense due to injuries, just due to not playing well against the pass, and they decided to throw it. And they actually did pretty well throwing the ball.
Yeah. Let's go to your big play of the week. It's from this game.
Yeah, it was the 62-yard touchdown to Doolin, which was a pretty fascinating play and speaks to the way personnel and formation can be used. So let's go to that play. It's the 62-yard touchdown to Doolin. And there's a lot of interesting factors to this. And it was what we call a shot play, Colin. It's a designed big play. And so what did they do? They had 13 personnel, meaning they had one back and three tight ends on the field. Okay? And look at the tight bunch to the field side. So that formation with that and Ashton Doolin as the single receiver to the boundary side of the field, that says run personnel, run look. So the Bucs lined up with a single high safety in cover three, basically an eight-man box because they're playing the formation and the personnel. So what do you get? A basic combination, post-cross. Granson with the cross, Doolin with the post. and Wentz is going to do play action from under center. And when he turns back to the defense, he's looking for Antoine Winfield. That's his read. It's his only read. What does Winfield do? Does he drop deep, or does he stay a little bit low with his eyes on Granson on the crosser? That's what Winfield does. So now you've got the post to Doolin with no deep safety and an outside leverage corner in Murphy Bunting, because it's zone, not man-to-man. So Murphy Bunting is really expecting help, but Winfield's not there. So you get exactly what you want, and Wentz couldn't have handed it to him any better than on that throw. So this is what you hope for when you call a shot play. You get the defense that you're looking for, you get a reaction you're looking for, and then you get the big play over the top.
Great stuff. NFL films over four decades. Greg Cosell. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Troy Aikman came out earlier and he was talking about super teams and stuff, about how they don't really work. And so this morning I said, as a staff, let's look at the last, let's go 3 years back at the big mega moves, trade or free agency. And we came up with what we considered, we didn't care what the number was, it was eight. And Max Scherzer's a big deal, but it's not as big as these eight. Like a big trade or a big signing. Like it was, we talked about it for a week, like on the show. And let's give them a grade. So one of them was Matt Stafford to the Rams. I mean, that was a topic, honestly, for like a month and a half. So Matt Stafford to the Rams, what grade would you give it? I would say C+. He is leading the NFL. He has the most regular season passing yards. He has been an upgrade from Jared Goff, but he's got 5 TDs and 5 picks over his last 3 games. He's banged up, and he is not, without a great running game, been able to carry this team to another level. That's a C+. Kawhi Leonard, that one was talked about for a month. I'd go C-. He's never available. He's missed 57 of the possible 166 games. He's not available now. He's just not available. Now, they made a conference finals, but they didn't get to the finals. And so what do we always say? Availability is the key to ability. I'd give that a C-. And he's not really a team leader. There's no proof he can be the number one leader. He can be your best player, but does he galvanize people? I've got my doubts. How about Anthony Davis? I think it's a good solid B bubble championship, but that was LeBron's team more than AD's. Also, not available. Also, he's missed 46 games since coming in 2019. Also, this year, he's shooting 19% from threes. He doesn't want to play the five. Vogel wants him to be a big. He doesn't want to be a big. He wants to be a four and on the perimeter. He can't shoot threes. Can't bang on Westbrook and not bang on AD, shooting 19% from the floor. So he doesn't really want to play the position. His DNA, which is a big, you don't want to play it. He's a finesse player, not a pounder. He gets a B. Gerrit Cole with the Yankees. Best pitcher in baseball, went to the biggest brand. I would say B+. He's very, very good, no doubt. But in the month of September last year, and that's why you paid him the big boy money. You paid him $324 million, not to be good in June, July, and August. You paid him to be good in September, and he wasn't. He was not. He had an ERA over 5 in September, and when you needed him in the American League wild card game against the Red Sox, he lasted 2 innings. So he was good, but you can't give him a big grade. You can't give him an A because he wasn't good when you wanted him to be good. You didn't get him for April. The Nets, the big three, I'll be kind. I'll say B-. Because I do think they've been interesting, and that matters too. The NBA stories matter, and they've been interesting as heck. But the big three have played a combined 8 games together. Now, Kevin Durant's been worth every penny, and I think Harden's done a good job to kind of mold his game that works with KD. So I'm all in on KD and Harden. But James Harden did miss 3 playoff games last year because he was hurt. And so that's part of it, right? So remember, Harden came into the season out of shape, played himself back into shape, and at the end of the season, his body wasn't right. So I'd give it a B-. Many would say C, but they have been interesting and compelling, and I think they're number one right now in the East. How about Tom Brady? Okay, that's the easy one. That's an A. Not only did he win a Super Bowl, but he changed the culture. He got every coach and every star player to re-sign. Everybody buys into Tom. And so I don't think we need to spend too much time on that. That's an A to an A plus. Bryce Harper to the Phillies. Now, Bryce has been very good. Last year, he batted 309, had 35 jacks, and he was the National League MVP. So that's a B to a B plus. But you didn't bring him there for individual stats. You brought him there to get you to the playoffs, and they've yet to make the playoffs since signing Bryce Harper. I'm not blaming him, but it's the reality. It's not a blame, but it's a reality. He's not elevating the team to new heights. And because they're paying him so much money, let's be honest about this, there's not a salary cap, but when you pay a big slugger all that money, you may not be able to keep your middle man or your second best closer or maybe your number three starter. They're not a playoff team, and they should be. And then Mookie Betts. Now, I would give Mookie an A. The only one higher is Tom Brady. He's been injured a little more. He's been banged up, but he's been a two-time MVP. They won the World Series after losing it the previous year, so he was, no question, he was the igniter. He's good in the locker room, hardest worker on the team, MVP runner-up, A to an A-minus. Again, banged up a little bit this year. The team was a little uneven all year. Nobody, Bellinger didn't play well. There was a lot of stuff. Seager's hurt. Now he's gone. But so the point is, we found eight of the biggest moves. We've got a C plus, a C minus, a B to a B minus, a B plus, a B minus, an A, a B, an A. The average grade's about a B minus to a C plus. That's the average grade on this. It's about a B minus, slight edge over a C plus. Meaning these huge trades, they're never as good as you think. These huge signings, almost never as good as you think. Mookie and Tom are the A's, you can't argue it. And even Mookie's been banged up a little bit. So, buyer beware when you go out there.